Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in India and earned an MS degree from Wayne State University. In 1985, he founded Covansis, an IT services firm which today consists of 8,000 employees worldwide, and he's one of the founding fathers of global outsourcing. He and his wife, Padma, have donated $40 million to Beaumont Hospital and Henry Ford Hospital toward cancer research. His name, Raj Vadakkudi, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with the founder, president, CEO of Covansis, somebody that I've competed against for decades and somebody that I've admired for decades, Raj Vadakkudi. Raj, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks, Jack. It's same here. I admire you, what you've done for our industry and for the community.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Yeah, I grew up in South India, and my father is a dentist and my mother is a housewife. But they both have taught me a lot about how important the education. And we have only two choices, either be a doctor or an engineer. So I chose to be an engineer. And right from childhood, I always had an admire for the U.S. About the opportunities and as well as the freedom the country cherishes around the world and the democracy. And so I always... listening to Voice of America, read a lot of Reader's Digest, and learn more about the country, what's happening, and what the opportunities. And so always done well in the school and college. And before 2 years I finished my college, I started applying to several universities to come to U.S. to do master's in computer engineering. And that's the way I grew up. And my father has taught me a lot about the entrepreneurial spirit, and even though he's a dentist, but he was in several businesses. Always admire him, his persistence.
Why did you come to Detroit, and what did you know about Detroit?
Mainly, I applied to several universities, and Wayne State has given me good opportunities, including the overall scholarship, and everybody said that Detroit is a big town and there's a lot of opportunities. And not knowing the campus, I ended up in Detroit. And first few months, it was kind of a little disappointed about the campus, but the opportunities were great and made a lot of friends and really enjoyed the campus after that.
Where did you get your love for IT, Raj?
Always I had the main admiration is not just the technology, but I said IT can bring a really how the total perspective of the business and how can you tie in all different entities of the business at an enterprise level. So that was really admired how you can apply IT to the business. And while I was working at Chrysler, and fortunately I was working on a very important project, Blueprint for Improvement, which included everything from the basic market segmentation, the order processing to the shipment. So there the technology is the key. So I learned a lot about the business in that process.
Some people, I think, are of the belief, some young people today, that IT's greatest days are over. They shouldn't go in and become a programmer, analyst, project leader. What do you say to them?
No, I think it's a new wave. I think as you can clearly see, we have continued to support the infrastructure needed for the businesses, but there are new opportunities with all the things happening in the wireless area and overall the different opportunities to transform the businesses leveraging the IT. as you can see clearly how Google and companies like that transformed. Now, so there's a lot of opportunities in this area. Continue to be, as long as you relate the IT to the business, I think it's tremendous returns for the business.
You were with Chrysler for 7-8 years as a project leader. Then you went to Eureka Foods as director of MIS. Why did you leave in 85 and start CBSI, Complete Business Solutions, Inc.?
One thing I have seen the opportunity in the market in terms of my own intuition that there's going to be a tremendous demand for the overall technology. As I said, admiring the businesses, how they can leverage the technology. And the other thing I've seen is in many firms not doing this in the right way and not having the right leadership. Felt that if I have started a business with my leadership and bringing the right people together and do the successful implementation of these projects to bring the value to the businesses, I thought this will be a great opportunity. And also the growth I felt is going to be enormous as the businesses start growing. And they're becoming more global, and they need more technology and to support them around the globe.
We're talking to Raj Vadakkudi. When we come back, we'll ask him the biggest thing he's learned in 25 years of building and running businesses. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Raj Vadakkudi. In 1985, he starts CBSI, changed the name eventually to Covansys. Today, Covansys has 8,000-plus employees worldwide. Raj, what are the 2-3 biggest lessons you've learned in building this worldwide, phenomenally successful companies?
Jack, the most important thing I've always felt, through that process, not recognizing all the time, but over the years, I always felt intuition, your own intuition is the best thing. And if your gut feeling, what is important, what you can do in the business, so your own intuition is the best judgment in the business. Second thing I learned is the persistence is very important. I think the businesses always have opportunities and also challenges. And as long as you're persistent, you can always achieve your goals. Third is the overall flexibility. I think everybody in the business looks to that. I think more we are open and honest and candor and bringing the value to the customer, the flexibility is important. And the other thing is the customer relationship. That's, I felt, is the best differentiation. Everybody talks about technologies and these assets they have, but the most important thing is the relationship with the customer is the clear differentiation. And also bringing the value to the employees and recognizing them and positioning them in the business. Those are the most important things I've learned in the business.
From someone who competed against you and tried to do the same thing, that was like a Harvard Business Law Review course right there. That was a fantastic answer. When we started, Raj, a $50 mistake was a big mistake. You know, then we got bigger, and then it was a $500 mistake. Then a $5,000, then a $50,000, $500,000. The mistakes just got more zeros behind them. Talk about making mistakes.
Yeah. I think if you don't make mistakes, as they say, you don't learn. And I think it's more than mistakes. Your gut feel, what you think need to be done. At times you're right, at times you're wrong. But all the time, based on what you're doing, as long as you take the calculated risk, it is fine. And it is not detrimental to the corporation. And so then you move on and then learn from the mistake and try to do better. And I made some mistakes, and most of the mistakes I feel where I felt my intuition, I didn't let that rule. I let the world try to rule that. So I learned through that process that you are the best judge.
Why did you decide to take your firm public?
Mainly, there were three reasons. One, reached to a size. It was very important to grow, to be competitive in the market, to really attract the world-class talent, and also the customers. And it was very important to show that we are not only a public company, but also ability to grow and create a value for the employees and the shareholders. And the market, the second thing was market was good when we went public, and it was the our industry, as you know, was growing like anything, especially growing global. And so there was a great opportunity for us. And the third thing is I felt was it also can attract some good companies to be part of this for the growth point of view, where we lack certain talent or the geographic presence.
You know, when the stock was just going up, those dot-com days, your barber, all your employees were so happy, your neighbors. But then how did you handle when the boom ended, the stock was going down, and suddenly all these friends had this stock that wasn't worth nearly what it had been? How'd you handle that?
Yeah, I think always my answer to them is there's a long-term vision for this company, long-term growth opportunities and the value. And the short-term, there's a lot of influence from the markets and other aspects. We cannot let that rule. And you truly believe in our strategy and our vision, I think it's a good way to hang in on to. And we never really went and sold this stock. Always let the people make the judgment. But whenever they come to me, I say, always look at the overall long-term objective.
You've run private companies. You've run a public company. You've run both at once. What's the difference between running a private company and a public company?
As you know, public company, you have a different dimension, and that is in our shareholders. When you're a private company, you could make your decisions by yourself and quickly. But public firm brought a lot of discipline, and also the overall the sharing the information with the public, and but there's a lot of time consuming, and in terms of the analysts, shareholders, and compliance, the government, all those issues take a lot of time from the business. So that's one. The negative part of it, but the positive part of it is it created the size and helped to grow. And so, as you say, as you, each one has a good and bad. We have to accordingly work with that. And the private company has, we really couldn't create the value to the level the way we could create for the public firm. But the private company has a lot more freedom, how you want to make the decisions and ability to run that without having to a lot of scrutiny.
Covansis is arguably the United Nations, 8,000 employees. You might have people from 50, 60, 70 different countries, multiple cultures. How do you effectively communicate to those 8,000 people with all the different cultures?
I think the world is being now, with all the internet and the communications, people know very well what's going on, everything. The only thing everybody is common between all these employees around the world is they're all looking for opportunities. They want to grow. They want to make the difference. And so that's the focus with them all the time, too. And also at the same time learning the culture and blending the culture into really overall Covansis culture.
I've read that even when you were a young person in India, you knew you wanted to be an entrepreneur. What makes a great entrepreneur, Raj Vadakudi?
I think persistence and the focus. And those are the two things I feel is the make the entrepreneur. And it's so important to stay the course consistently and let the, not everybody rule, let your intuition rule. And be persistent.
I've admired you for a lot of reasons. One of the biggest, Raj, is you've been humble and you stay humble. In spite of all the success, you're still the same Raj.
Thank you, Jay.
How have you done that?
No, I think I really
enjoy...
How
has Padma done that?
Yeah, we both really enjoy people, and we really care for our friends and the people. And that's always a give-and-take approach we have taken. That's really the nature, and that's the way we've been brought up.
You are one of the founders of the whole global outsourcing. When you first started going to Chrysler and IBM and Ford and trying to convince them to let you take some of this IT work offshore, that was heretical. How did you do it, Raj?
Yeah, I think it's the overall, the key for our industry is the talent base, even though technologies are there. And the productivity is very important, like the what manufacturing industry has gone through. So felt IT industry is going through, will go through the same transformation to leveraging the best of the class around the world required to bring that productivity and the overall value to the customer. And naturally, initially, a lot of issues politically and otherwise. And again, we just stayed the course, believed in it, and went for that. And that helped to really create the industry. And when we started, hardly anything. Today, it's over $24 billion industry. And by 2012, it will grow to $45 billion. And but it's really created a value across the world, and the ability to bring the more innovation and the timing to the market.
Who was the first client that ever said, okay, we'll try it? And was it successful?
We had several clients start at the same time, I think, including the automotive clients. We also have financial service company. We also had one state contract. This was project was in big trouble, and they had to get it done within a very short time. There's no way they could get so many people into Carson City, Nevada. And to get the project done, so the only way we can leverage was putting a big team of people to get that in a short time, the project done.
We're talking to Raj Vadakkudi, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Raj Vadakkudi, truly one of the founding fathers of global outsourcing. Raj, I just want to say you cost me millions of dollars by being successful with the global outsourcing. So, but we're all reaping the fruits of it, etc. You were like a missionary. You were like John the Baptist, you know, in the desert, trying to convince people. Through your sheer will, you got this thing off the ground. You got the concept going. Talk to us about willing something to happen.
Yeah. I think it's the main thing is to opportunity there. How do you convince the people is the key is to be honest and straightforward and very clear about your thinking and the challenges and how important that to be as a real partner to work with them to make it happen. And constantly stay the course and making sure you cover all the risk involved and mitigating the risk accordingly. So thinking through the details is the key to make something happen. And even a large company CEO running a multi-billion dollar company has to think through that. I think I feel even though you have all the teams to do the work, but you have to stay on the top in details to making sure willing to make things happen. And that's the only way I feel things will happen because at times we try to ignore those details. And that makes it difficult. It all depends on who is working for you, who can see the same kind of details, then things will happen. Otherwise, you'll always have some risks involved. Again, it goes back to the real intuition and then working through the details.
As you've had to meet payroll and had tough challenges and clients threatening to sue because the thing wasn't done on time correctly, did you ever get afraid? And how did you overcome that fear of failure if you had it?
Again, first 5 years, never borrowed money from anybody. And because of that honest and providing a true service to the customer and the relationship, they used to pay immediately, so I never had to really borrow the money. So that's the kind of relationship and the services we have provided. And so based on that, I never thought about the kind of failure. But there's always something behind making sure how do we mitigate that. But in general, I always had that positive attitude to help to work with the customers.
In the last segment, you talk about taking calculated risk. What are calculated risks?
It's basically you bet on something in the opportunity. And so you know the risk very clearly, what the risks are. As long as, and calculate the risk, you know, what the total is, as long as that is not going to bring you down overall, even if it fails, and you learn something in that process so that you move on. So that's the way I look at the calculated risk. It's not a total disaster.
You sold your business to Computer Sciences for over $200 million in cash. And you had to pay taxes to the state and the federal, but you still had a lot of money left. And most people, I'm sure, were telling you, you know, you and Padna, go get homes in Paris, London, everywhere. Get yachts, travel, have the great life. You don't do that. Eventually, you start Synova again. You come back to Covances. Why didn't you reap the fruits of this Horatio Elger story, as most people would have wanted you to do?
Yeah, I enjoy business. I enjoy people. And some people probably enjoy the big boats and big homes, many places. For me, is we have a nice home in Michigan, and we enjoy that. Then I have my own hobbies and things I do, and I work with a lot of friends, and I enjoy all that. So I think it's each one the degree of what they enjoy. But for me, is to really enjoy the business, and also most important is work with the people. How do we make the difference in these communities we live in?
Let's talk about globalization. Tom Friedman's book, The World is Flat. You being one of the true founders of this global outsourcing, talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think globalization is, people use it in a very loose way. Globalization means they feel they're doing business in many countries. That's not true globalization. I truly believe globalization is to truly live in the culture, and at the same time, how do you leverage the workforce and the other aspects to really bring the value to those communities and the customers? If you really look at the true global company I have seen so far, is Toyota. And they really live in the communities, and they design all their cars pretty much locally and then produce worldwide and to bring their overall value. Even the French has embraced Toyota, and now they're doing their design. So I think that's the way I feel the true global company. And in related to World is Flat, it is it's not the cost alone, it's the equal play. I think today the businesses are transforming. So it's not just the low cost they're looking to. They're looking the world-class companies to help them to transform their business quickly with the technologies, the business ideas, which help them to get there. And that's where the equal play will come. Who can bring that to the customer? It doesn't matter where it comes from. as long as it meets the requirements to that market.
A few weeks ago, you know, we all watched the Olympics from China, the coming out party. As you watched that, Raj Vatakudi,
what
did you think about? You know, what did you leave with?
It's phenomenal. And like as I talked about, believing in something and staying the course, that's what that is, what China has done. And they really believe in it. They want to show the world that they are capable, and they stayed the course, and they did everything possible to make it happen. And you can, when you peel that out, and there will be a lot of things will come out, but that's not the issue. At the end of the day, they really stayed the course, and then been a very successful Olympics.
A fellow competitor of ours, Bharat Desai, a few years ago, we were having a dinner, and he said, Jack, the day will come when Indian programmers will price themselves out of the market and the programming will be done in China. Do you see that coming?
Yeah, I think in terms of, it's again, each level of this business is staying. It's no longer as the low cost alone. Customers are looking for business transformation. And so the maturity of those are very important in every country. And so, as you know, China is probably one of the lowest cost in manufacturing, or now even getting into IT in all those areas. But at the end of the day, what overall value they can bring it, on that basis, I think India is pretty strong, because there's a lot of maturity came through people like us over the years. So we brought that overall the understanding of the customers and the culture of the customer, what is required. And China will take some time for them to get there, because they don't have that kind of cross-cultural pollination has not happened as much as with India.
We're talking to Raj Vatakudi. He and his wife, Padma, have donated $40 million to this community. We'll talk about that when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Raj Vatakudi, the founder, president, CEO of Covansis. He and his wife, Padma, have donated $40 million toward cancer research to Beaumont Hospital and Henry Ford Hospital. Raj, tremendous gift. Why did you do it?
Felt it's wanted to make the real difference in the community, which has given us so much. And I truly believe, like any business, whatever we do, that has to really bring the returns on that. It's like I look at it as an investment, and felt the cancer is probably the most important piece of the worry for the people, both the prostate for men and breast cancer for the woman. And both have so much advanced technology coming through, felt that there's a great opportunity, especially in case of prostate cancer, where the robotic surgery, we're the first one in the world to do the robotic surgery. And so felt there's a tremendous opportunity to advance that and help the people to cure with the minimal invasive and the ability to have a minimal exposure to any of their sexual aspects. And so the doctor I have met, impressed very well with him and what he has done and his vision and his commitment, felt that prostate cancer is something which we can cure. And today we are world-class leader. People from all over the world come here to learn this technique. And we have over 40,000 people in the world went through this process, a procedure. And now we're expanding that further to other organs. And so we're going to create a world-class robotic surgery institute in Michigan, and which will really help a lot of people. So it's really to see what returns we get. To just give you, when we started the robotic company, Intuitive Surgical out of California, they were losing money, but today their market cap is over $16 billion. So it has expanded across the world with this approach.
The day that you met Dr. Mani Menon and the day that he met you, what was a God moment? Talk about Dr. Mani Menon.
He is a great individual, and is like any entrepreneur type, even though he's a doctor, but he has a really focus. He had the intuition and stayed the course. And initially, the technique used to take 8 to 9 hours. And he worked himself and learned himself and perfected the technique. Today, does it within less than 2 hours. And so, which is remarkable. And now he's taught this technique to so many people in the world. And he made the difference in the world with really perfecting this technique.
To a listener tonight that has been afraid to get a checkup for prostate, you know, they hear this, he hears this robotic surgery, minimally invasive, and that's fine for other people, but for me, there is no such thing as minimally invasive. Talk to us about the specifics of this robotic surgery.
I think it's mainly the precision the doctors can go without having to cut the big incisions where the blood loss and all that, and have a very precisely focused and get to the right piece, and then ability to take this prostate out would really help. And the traditional normal surgery is always the risk involved that it might, in this process, they may cut sexual organ, might affect their overall sexual performance moving forward after the surgery. And so with this, it's very hardly any that type of risk is there.
How often should a woman get checked up, and how often should a man get checked out for cancer, Raj?
I think it's the regular checkup every year people should go, especially after age 50. I think on a regular basis you got to make sure you go through all the tests, PSA for the men and breast for checkup for the digital mammography for the woman on a regular basis, at least once a year is very important.
Michigan, we're in tough times. We need a transformation. I think everybody would agree with that. You transformed industry by starting this global outsourcing. Talk to us about transforming Michigan.
Yeah. I think we heavily depend on the auto industry, but auto industry brought tremendous amount of technology in the marketplace. There's a huge opportunities in the technology business today, especially in the mobile technology and helping the small businesses to large business to transform their business, leveraging the, like how you see how Google has done. Now Amazon is doing in a big way to help the businesses to both the marketing angle and technology point of view. So especially the young kids, they have so many, they see the market different. They see the technology different. They see the application of the technology different. And so they have a huge opportunity to think through, come up with ideas, and take the risk and be an entrepreneur and stay the course and really be successful in Michigan.
A few weeks ago, we had the CEO of Focus Hope, Eleanor Josaitis, on. And you partnered with her a number of years ago to start an IT curriculum. Can you share that with us?
Yeah. When this whole aspect of the shortage and getting the real talent required, I truly believe in what we had done in India, and I felt it's the same thing we can do by educating the young people in the right way and help them to focus in the right way to really provide the opportunities and also try to fill the gap. We've done that with the Focus Hope, partnering with them, taking the high school graduates, teaching them basic IT as well as the advanced IT to help them to be really get the jobs and also be part of the community. We also did the same thing with the college program with the several colleges to recruit the people who trained them. And so that's the what kind of programs, which are very important in Michigan, continue to leverage our ag workforce.
I've also admired that you seem to be at peace with yourself. You always have. You're a happy person. What's the key to being happy, Raj Vadakkudi?
I think it's the sense of belonging, sense of achievement, and the people really get me going, and I really enjoy. I think some of this I definitely learned from my father, and who is always happy-going, and he's now 89 years old, very healthy, and continue to be very happy and move along. And I think it's very important for me personally to be with the people and enjoy the people.
Last question, Raj. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I think there's no such thing called shortcut. And for they truly believe in something you need, stay the course and continue to work, and you'll get the results. Whatever that is, whether it's in your job or you want to start a business or you want to do the community service, any of those areas, I think stay the course.
Raj, thanks for coming. You truly are a shining example of the American dream. Please keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jack. I really appreciate giving me the opportunity. Again, I really admire you, what you're doing for the community.
Thanks. Our guest next Sunday will be Tom Treese from Monroe, another Renaissance man, great story, great leader. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.